Praise the Lord. Acts 20 and verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God. Everybody said the church.
The church.
To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The church. I just want to talk to us here this morning. I've had this on my heart for a few weeks, and it came together yesterday. I want to talk about defining the church. Defining the church. Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord for his help this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. You've been so good to us, Lord. We thank you for your blessings today. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated this morning. I certainly enjoyed the special services we've had. Such anointed teaching from the Word of God. And I hope this morning that the Word will be anointed as well, that we can be established in our walk with God.
Right.
Defining the church. The word defining here, there's three definitions of this word defining, but in lexicography or in a lexicon, an explanation of the significance of a word or term, or of what a word is understood to express. That's what a definition is. Definitions are vital in everything that we do. We don't really think about it that much. But without definitions, we couldn't communicate. We could not progress as a society. And without definitions, we would have no mathematics, because there would be no way to define anything. There would be no language. There would be no way to tell someone else what to do or what you're getting ready to do. Or in the South, they'd say you're fixing to do. Without definitions, your child wouldn't understand things like clean your room, take out the trash, so on and so forth. We ought to be thankful for definitions. Definitions are so important that entire encyclopedias have been written for the sole purpose of defining individual words. Think about that this morning. And the same is true with biblical words. And I just brought this as a little example. This is the Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. And it was written in 1940 by W.E. Vine, and he wrote this 351 pages in small print, I might say. And it is really just one book in a volume of four books, three books containing the Old Testament. How many of you here this morning would like to make your career writing a four-book volume that looks just about like that? Anybody? No takers. All right. But definitions are so very important. I'm very thankful for books like this because it gives us an understanding of what the Word of God means and what the Lord was trying to tell us. Today, folks are not so interested in definitions as they are in feelings. And in fact, to bring out certain things and clearly define them, a person would be categorized as being legalistic and narrow-minded. Amen. That we should be open-minded to definitions. But thank God for clear definitions in the Word of God. In fact, if we don't clearly define the Word of God, it will lead to chaos, which is defined as disorder or confusion. We will become very, very confused and disoriented if we don't have the right definitions. And as God's people, we cannot afford to be confused about the Word of God. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Y'all help me here this morning. And we will live our lives in disorder. One area we've got to clearly define is the church. What does it mean, the church? What does it mean? How does it fit into my life? How does it fit into the will of God for my life? It's very important that we get the right definition or definitions of the church. And I want to define this very, very important area this morning so that when we leave here, we'll have a clear understanding. The word church in the original Greek was ecclesia, meaning a congregation. What we are experiencing here this morning is the church. We are the church here this morning. Somebody said amen. We are the church or the congregation. And the church was made, or it was started at Calvary. Amen. Which he hath purchased with his own blood. The church is the body of Christ in the earth. Now, I've got a lot of scripture, and if you want to write them down and look at them when you get home, I would encourage that. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 22, I'll let you get there this morning. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. It's a little too quiet here for me this morning. Somebody needs to give me a good Baptist nod every now and then.
Yes, sir.
All right. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 1:22. And verse 23, and he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Everybody said his body.
His body.
The church is the body of Christ, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And so we are the body. Amen.
Amen.
We are from the neck down. Spiritually speaking, we are the body of Christ.
Right, right.
Thank God that we can be a part of the body of Christ.
Yes, sir.
And the head is Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He's the most important thing here this morning.
Yes,
there's nothing else that is more important than the head. Amen.
Right.
The arm doesn't do anything by itself.
Right.
The leg doesn't do anything by itself.
Nope.
Everything from the neck down is controlled by the head. And when you have problems with the head, then the body doesn't do what you want it to do.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. But there's only one head. Thank God we were made in the image of God.
Yes, sir. That's right. Amen.
And we weren't made with three heads.
Right.
Come on now.
Yeah.
We were not made with three heads. We were made with one head.
Right.
And then there was not 15 or 20 or 30 or 50 or whatever bodies that three heads were placed upon. There was one head and one body. Praise the Lord. And we've got to define what that means. We've got to have a clear definition this morning. This is not going to be new to all of you, but I just felt like that this was the will of God for this morning. Amen. The enemy of the church has changed the definition of the church to incorporate many heads and many bodies, but there's still only one God. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
There's only one church. Well, praise the Lord. One God and one church. One head and one body. That's the definition that the scripture gives us. Amen. Acts chapter 7 and verse 38, there was only one Israel. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness. And by the way, that's the only place in scripture that it talks about the Old Testament Israel as being a church or the church. That was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Thank God, there was only one Israel. There was only one people of God. There was not two. There was not three or four. There was only one people of God. And so because that, we have so many, many that are saying today that they are the church. We have to have a clear definition of what the church is and what it means, amen, to be a part of the church. In the Old Testament, there was only one boat that floated.
Yeah, that's right.
Brother Deontay, there was only one ark. Amen. There was only one ark. There was only one way to be saved in the Old Testament. Pastor's been talking about the tabernacle. I've taught on that many times over the years. And it's a very beautiful thing, but there was only one tabernacle. There was only one tabernacle. There wasn't two or three. There was not a tabernacle in Egypt. Praise God. There was not a tabernacle in other countries. It was only one tabernacle. Amen. And thank God there's only one church. Well, praise the Lord. There's only one church this morning. And the church is not defined by size. It is not defined by location. Not scripturally. It's not defined by the pastor's name or its wealth and strength. The church is defined by the word of God. And it's given to us. Here's the head of the church, Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Can anybody quote that this morning? Quote it for me, Hunter. Did you know that's the greatest scripture in the Bible? That is considered the greatest scripture in the Word of God. It is the Shema of Israel. Every devout Jew would like to quote this scripture on his deathbed as his last words in this world. I'm thankful that I know that there's only one God. I was raised as a Catholic boy, and we believed in a trinity of gods. A trinity of gods that was formulated by the Catholic Church. You can look it up in your history books. It's common information. And I'm not putting anybody down, but I'm wanting this morning to clearly define the church. There's only one God. There's not three in one. You can't have three in one. And you can't have one in three. It's a confusion. Billy Graham was asked to define the Trinity. And he said, I can't. It's not something that can be defined. It has to be accepted by faith. The Catholics teach the very same thing. You cannot understand the Trinity. Well, we understand that. It's a hard thing to understand. It cannot be understood because it defies logic and reasoning. But God is so good. There's only one God. You can take a little 3 or 4 year old and say, how many gods are there? They'll put their little finger up. There's only one. There's one finger there. We're not going to go like this and whatever. It's going to get all confused. Amen. But there is only one God. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to do the best I can here today. I hope that you're attentive to the Word of God. There's only one God. Meaning there's only one head of the church. And that's Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 5. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many. Now look at that. There's a lot of churches that have their doors open today. And there are gods that are many and there are lords that are many. In our town here this morning, there were people and are people that are bowing down to statues. There are those here in our town who used to be that said that Jesus Christ was Michael the Archangel. There are those that believe we have to follow the Old Testament with all their sacrifices and all that. But I'm telling you here this morning, there's only one church in Augusta, Kansas. Well, praise the Lord. There's only one church in our city. Thank God for the church this morning. I'm not going to praise God. I cannot afford to go and worship under the auspices of three gods. You say, well, it's not three, it's three attributes. That's not what the Trinity is defined by. Now, I want to be clear here this morning, but I don't want to be offensive. Praise God. The definition of the Trinity is that there are three persons. Not three, but one. Not one, but three. Folks, there are not three persons in the Godhead. The greatest scripture in the Bible says there's only one Lord. Israel never believed in a Trinity. They believed in one God. I believe in one God this morning. And it's a revelation of the scripture that we can have. But to us, there is but one God, the Father. Everybody said the Father. Who was the Father of Jesus Christ? It was the Holy Ghost in Matthew chapter 1, 20 and 21. It was the Holy Ghost. So we have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's just titles of the very same person. I am a husband. But that's not my name. I am a son, but that's not my name. I am a father, but that's not my name. I'm just one person here this morning. Sometimes I feel like half a person, but I'm one person here today. Praise God. But to us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things. And we in him and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Praise God. All things were created by him. In the beginning, God. Doesn't say in the beginning, Jesus. It says in the beginning, God. And God came down and fathered a son in the womb of Mary. Amen. And the seed of the Word of God produced a man named Jesus Christ, who became the Savior of the world. Amen. James chapter 2, verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. How many believes in one God this morning? thou doest well. The devils also believe. They're not saved, but they believe. Why do they believe? Because they have been in the presence of that one God. And they know that there is only one God. Praise the Lord. There has never been a trinity of gods except in the imagination of the hearts of men. It was made up. You can look in your history. You can look in any venue you want, and you'll find that the Trinity was developed, and it was developed by men in 325 A.D. That's when it started. And the Trinity was actually not even taught to the common man until the 4th or the 5th century, because they didn't understand what it was and they had to figure it out for themselves. Isn't it a whole lot better to just say there's only one God? Praise the Lord. Somebody ought to thank God this morning. There's only one God. And we have to define the church by one God. Someone says, come visit my church. Well, what we need to do is just say, how many gods do you serve? Do you believe in the Trinity? If they believe in the Trinity, then we're not going to go there.
Yeah. Right.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm not going to be offensive here this morning. But we are not going to go there because there is only one God. We cannot go to the house of false gods. We can't do that. Holy Ghost and Father are the same term. And there is one Son of God, Jesus Christ. Well, praise the Lord. And because of the nature of his sonship, it tells us that there was a beginning of him. He was conceived at the point of conception. That was the beginning, and it's still that way today. Life starts at conception. Life started with Jesus Christ, the man Jesus Christ, at conception. He had the nature of his mother, and he had the nature of his father. And when he spoke of his father, he was speaking of the great God of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. All right. The church is defined by its plan of salvation. Praise the Lord. Hope I can get through all of this here this morning. It'll go and go and go. John chapter 3 and verse 5, Jesus said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's a definition this morning. If we look it up in the Word of God, it's going to tell us what that word means. Praise God. There's a definition of salvation, and that definition is given to the church. Thank God for the church this morning. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. I'm sure somebody here this morning can quote that. Brother Charlie? Praise the Lord. All right, praise God. Let's give him a hand. He gave it a good try. That's in your Bible this morning. And by the way, it was preached by the Apostle Peter, and it was on the first day of the church. It was the first message of salvation. It was the first message to sinners that said, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, the message has not changed. And the message is for the church. The message is for the church. Well, praise God. Matthew 28 and verse 19. Go ye into all the world and teach, baptizing them in the name of the Father. Everybody said the name of the Father.
The name of the Father.
What is the name of the Father? It's Jesus. Isaiah 9 and 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he will be called the Everlasting Father. So the Son will be called the Father. How do you do that? Well, you've got to have a revelation of who Jesus Christ really was and is. He is the head of the church. And salvation comes through the name. The name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost is the same as the name of the Father, because the Holy Ghost is the Father. All we come up with, and I say all, it encompasses the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. There's only one church. Folks, there's only one church. According to the Word of God, there's only one head of the church. There's only one way to be saved. Amen. You cannot be saved by being good. Acts chapter 10. Cornelius was a good man. An angel appeared to him. There's some places you can go on YouTube if you want to believe that sort of stuff. And it's supernatural. And it doesn't matter who you are, if you've got a story of seeing an angel or going to heaven and coming back or going to hell and coming back, you can find it there. But I'm telling you this morning, those experiences are not biblical doctrine. Amen. There's only one way to be saved, and it's not by being good. It's not by seeing an angel. It's not by hearing a voice. It's not by some experience that you have. Amen. Cornelius was all of that. But when it was said and done, while Peter spoke the words in the last of that chapter, while Peter yet spoke the words, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And then Peter said, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he suggested that they get baptized.
No.
Is that what it says?
No,
it doesn't say that. It says he commanded them to be baptized. How were they baptized? In the name of Jesus. Praise God. We've got the truth here this morning. And it's found in the Word of God. And you can't be saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ only. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's repentance. That is the point of conversion, amen, where we turn ourselves and we start our journey to God. Acts chapter 19, Paul came to Ephesus. He found certain disciples. He said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And so they were believers. They said, "We don't know about the Holy Ghost. Never heard that message before." And so Paul said, "How were you baptized?" You see, the church makes issues about these things because it is in the plan of God. And they said, "Well, we were baptized by John." And so Paul said, "Well, John said you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to turn your life over to him." And when they heard this in Acts 19, verses 1 through 6, I believe it is, The scripture says they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. If you please, they got rebaptized. And if you've been baptized in titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you need to get rebaptized. Excuse me. Why? Because there's only one plan of salvation for the one church in the earth. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy. Everybody said holy. That it should be holy and without blemish. Praise God. The church, God's church in this world, is defined by its desire to be holy. It's not defined by what we wear, but it's defined by what's in our heart. Well, praise the Lord. And when it's in your heart, you're not going to dress immodestly. When it's in your heart, you're going to examine what holiness means. And you're going to follow through with it. Praise God. If you have a humble spirit, you will listen to the word of God. And then when you leave the church, you will obey the word of God. And I thank God for a pastor who will preach holiness. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen, that it should be holy and without blemish. Who in the world would want to marry someone that on the wedding day there was ketchup stains on her dress because she stopped at McDonald's on the way to the church? I think I'd hit the side door right there, and I wouldn't look back. Praise God. Mustard stains, whatever, pickle juice. You can just plug anything in there that you want to. Amen. Why in the world would the Lord want a bride that was worldly? That had one eye on him and another eye on the world. We've got to have a single eye because we're a single church. Amen. One eye. That doesn't mean we're a cyclops, but what that means. Well, praise God. What that means is we have one focus of our life, and that is our husband-to-be, Jesus Christ. And the church is defined by its holy attitude. The church is defined by its leadership. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Praise God. Well, I've got a little note here. You obey your boss, why can't you submit to godly leadership? That cussing boss. Amen. That boss that talks rudely to you. You know why? Because you want that paycheck at the end of the week. And you're willing to put up with grief. Willing to put up with all sorts of things. Amen. If you obey your boss, you need to obey spiritual leadership. And that doesn't give spiritual leadership the option to be a lord over God's harvest. It doesn't. But if we're in the book, praise God. If we're in the book and the pastor preaches it, we need to leave the church and do it. If the pastor says we're having Tuesday night prayer, I didn't come here to get offensive. But if he calls for Tuesday night prayer, we need to be here. And we try to be here a little bit early. Praise God. Because I want to be in submission to those that have the rule over me. You're going to have somebody over you. Amen. You say, well, I'm going to start my own business, and that way I won't have any boss. Ask Hunter if he has any bosses. How many yards did you mow yesterday and Friday?
Friday we did one big one.
All right. I heard there was a lot more than that. Oh, mercy. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, I've been in business for myself. And it's not a situation where you don't have a boss. Every one of us are going to have somebody that's over us. And we must have the spirit and attitude of submission in our lives. Obey them that have the rule over you. Amen. The true church is defined by leadership. It's defined by leadership. Your secular churches, the pastor is hired. Amen. And he can also be fired. Amen. There's the largest church in Wichita went through a situation where they decided the board, most boards are really boring. Amen. And they decided they wanted a once saved, always saved doctrine. And so they fired their preacher and they got another one that preaches that. And they lost a lot of people. But it's not the church. Amen. It's not the church. The church is defined by its worship. Somebody said amen. I know here we are Sunday morning, and I'm not able to preach from the housetop here today, but the Bible says, Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. There's the essence of worship right there. My pastor always said that the highest form of praise that you can offer to God is the life that you live. And if you're living for God, if you're living for God and you're walking with God, when you lift your hands, you're going to feel God. You're going to know that He is near. Somebody said amen. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. We need to worship the Lord, folks. From our hearts. I thank God our pastor's been promoting worship. And we need to follow his leadership. Acts 12 and verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And so what we can see here in Scripture is that the church is defined by its prayers. Amen. We can't be the church if we don't pray.
Amen.
And that's not a little lay me down to sleep prayer. But it's praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's prayers that'll get the pastor out of prison. That's what it did. Amen. It's prayers that will be answered by God. And I'm sure there were those of you that were praying the other day when the tornado hit. I was with Pastor and we were delivering some mattresses. We missed that tornado by 7 to 10 minutes. And we turned on our dirt road and we're coming home. And I looked over there and I said, Jesus, help us. And I saw that thing come down out of the clouds. And I started praying right there, and I know that many of you started praying as well. Praise God, the church is defined by its prayers. The church is defined by supernatural moves of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and starting with verse 4, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. I want to read all the way down to verse 14, but I'm not able to here this morning. But I just want to get the gist of it here. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There's only one God over the church. And because of that, there are diversities of administrations, diversity of operations. But it is the same God that worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith. And you can go all the way down, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of those tongues. And so the church is defined, the church, the real church is defined by supernatural moves of God. And then if you'll go down to verse 28, and God, everybody said God. This is the work of God. This is his body in this earth. And God hath set some in the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And so right in the middle of all the teaching and everything, there is miracles. Everybody said miracles. God works miracles.
Yes.
Amen. It is defined by the supernatural. I could take all of this morning and talk about miracles that I've seen. God's a miracle working God. He's a miracle working God. And last but not least, the church is defined by its love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and this is right after chapter 12. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity or love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Amen. We've got to love one another, folks. We've got to have love one for another and pray for one another. And forgive one another. John 13 and verse 35. And I'm going to finish with this here this morning. John 13 and verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. That you are the church. If you have love one to another. We're not in a church here this morning. It is not that church. But I'm a member of the church. And for now, we're located at 1200 Henry Street. That's just a location that we are. But one day we're going to move from this place. And then one day we're going to move to another place called heaven. And we're going to hear him say, well done. Let's stand together this morning. Thank you all for indulging me here this morning. The Word of God is so good.
Yes, it is.
It really doesn't matter who delivers it.
Amen.
But thank God. Thank God we've got men among us that can bring the Word of God. And it's so anointed that angels hold their breath. Amen. Let's thank God for the church. Why don't we just thank him this morning?